Punk My Mom, The Girl of the Bear, So You Think You Can Dance, and Don't Touch That, It's Infected. You know that's right. It's episode 12, season 6 of this podcast, End of Psych, and it starts right about now. Wait for the point.
I've heard it both ways.
I've heard it both ways.
And welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. John, riding shotgun in the blueberry with me, as always, is the cake-eating, party-hall-renting, Evite-sending, woo, break-dancing, 40-candle-blowing, 365 times traveling around the sun, son of a gun, he's having a hard time keeping those alligators down, woo! Millie, my guy, how's it going?
Hello, yeah, it's my birthday.
And, happy birthday, William.
We're doing a podcast, and I gotta tell you, Joe, I like this episode. Borderline love.
It's a lot of fun. My score is going to increase as we talk about it, because when I wrote the notes, I was a little tired, but I liked it. But it'll definitely increase. That is for damn sure. But William, before we get started, two things. One, I was a little distracted during your open, which was fucking hysterical, by the way. I hate what fucking Twitter has done. Like, you posted, like, we went live, and I was trying to just, like, retweet it real quick so we could get it, like, on both of us, and it was being a pain in the ass. But two, it is your birthday, my friend. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, over the past several years, getting to know all the guys, you know, being a part of the Dork Chair Gooniverse, doing a podcast with Friar and doing a podcast with you have been some of the best days and times that I have had over these past couple of years. So I raise a glass to you, my friend. That's about three fingers of Eagle Rare bourbon, and you've got a very classy Crown of Coke in a wine glass, my friend.
No. This is just a healthy pour of wine.
Oh, it's just a healthy pour of Merlot. I ain't fucking drinking Merlot. Movie reference from Sideways. So happy birthday, William. I can't wait to celebrate it with you this weekend. So
hell cheers. Yeah, brother. Cheers. Thank you, Doc. That was very nice. Sentiments agreed and put back right on you. I don't do the PCP Scream podcast much anymore, but I will say, like, we started this during quarantine and it was a lot of fun. I think I might have just exposed my plumber's crack cleaning up the scene here on Twitter. But yeah, dude, like, Saturday should be a lot of fun. And I'm throwing myself a football. Well, my parents are throwing me a 4-year birthday party. Quick side story. I told my mom I was going to throw my own, and she was offended to the point she was, like, pissed.
So is it Catherine that I've been getting the invites from? That's your mom?
Yes.
Yes. Sounds like, seems like a wonderful lady. I can't wait to meet her.
She is indeed.
So, with that said, we are discussing this week's Psych Season 6, Episode 12, Sean and the Real Girl. Now, this is an episode that I remember, but once you know, it's not until you rewatch it again and really get into the weeds of it that you really appreciate it and enjoy some of the nuances of the episode. So real quick, before we get into the process, the synopsis, I've heard it both ways. I've been drinking, Billy. It starts. I'm old. One sip is all it takes. When a contestant on a reality dating show is in a car accident that wasn't an accident, Sean and Gus are hired to find out who is causing problems on the show. The duo act as contestants to get close to the suspects. Now, one could argue, Billy, that they're going back to the well. We've done this already with American Duos, right? But that's okay, because this episode's great. It's not American Duos great, but it's still great.
Well, I mean, it definitely isn't. That is one of the all-time great cameo appearances or guest appearances on this episode, or the show, I should say. But I will say there's a couple of moments, and I'm just going to get to it now, like the him going over his pitches. Punk My Mom. Like, that was in our intro video for the show. Like, I did, like, we toyed around with some ideas with that. But I forgot when I watched this that he sings a song in the rowboat. Melinda's face is on top of her neck. Melinda's face is under her hair. Like, That is one of the funniest things in the show's history, because it's like, it's a throwaway. It's at the end. It's like in that recap, like, here's what you missed, like behind the scenes stuff. Like, I don't know why. Like, it feels like it's an Animal House reference or something. Like, I couldn't place where it's from, but it definitely feels like it's an homage to something. Like, but that fucking killed me.
that was great. That might have been, and I don't know if I have it here in my favorite moments, but it should be like the end, right? With that, like here are the outtakes, or here's what you missed on the season. Like, that ending was maybe one of the best parts of the episode. But before we get too far into it, William, why don't you have the guys remind the folks of our process?
Usually starts with a holla and ends with a creamsicle. And then if there's time in between, Thundercats. Ho!
Ho! Also, real quick aside, it was announced. Oh, wait.
You go.
Oh, okay. I thought there was another sounder coming. That USA is thinking about bringing back original programming.
Yeah, I mean, I was rock hard for that. Like, that is unbelievable. Like, if they bring back Psych, they've already done a pretty good job with the movies. I was having this discussion at work with another Psych fan who listens to the show.
Hi, Kaufman.
No. Unfortunately, he won't be at the party. He has, like, a holiday party. But, you know, we were talking. The movies are really good. The first one is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
The second one's pretty good. I really like the third one as well. So it doesn't seem like they'd be too far off. I don't know how they do it with Timothy Ombudsman.
Yep.
Is that how you say it?
Ombudsman.
Hopefully he continues to get better. But even in the episodes where it's just heavy Sean and Gus, like, that's what the show is. That's like the main part of the show. So I would be so on board. It would be good for our podcast. It would be amazing, like, to get Psych back, because I don't think they mail it in. Like, the movies aren't like a cash grab. They seem to have fun. They seem to enjoy it. They seem to really put effort into it and make it Psych.
Yeah, like,
there's all the Psych stuff.
What you could do really is, I forget where Jules is at, right? But you could put Jules in the Lassie role, and you could bring in, she gets a new partner.
Oh, who was the girl they replaced her with? It was like a Jules duplicate. Penny, whatever her name is, like the one who replaces her kind of in the Sweevil episode. I loved her. If you get like a pairing of her, or maybe Chief Karen Charles Vick, went with Charles. I knew it was Z. But, like, anything like that, you could do a multitude of things, maybe like more Woody, more Buzz, whatever it is. I'm in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm 100% all the way in.
Yeah, 100%.
More Marlo. Like, it doesn't matter, even though she's like a crazy Republican now. She's still Buffy. So, like, whatever you want to do, we're here for it.
Yeah. I'm in. I mean, I think what really kind of kicked this off was the amount of success that Suits had on the Netflix.
Put fucking Psych on Netflix. I'm begging them.
It would Royal Pains, Suits, put them all. I mean, we already Suits, but like Royal Pains and Burn Notice and all of them, right?
Yeah.
Sirens, bring me back Sirens, baby. Give me that. Now that's a show that needs to come back. Bring back Sirens, right? But that's
in order to deal, I'm gonna watch Sirens tonight after we get
on. I know, right? Well, I'm still in a heavy Brooklyn Nine-Nine phase right now. R.I.P. Andre Brewer there, because that was terrible. I just read that it looks like he had lung cancer. Which sucks, because he was hilarious. The show was hilarious. But let's lift back up. We've gone through our process, so, you know, quick thoughts. You know, it's not a bad little episode. It's got, I wrote, has its funny moments. It has more than its funny moments.
I would put, like, this not in like a pantheon or a top 10 or a top 20, but one of the most surprising upon rewatch.
That's
a category 100%. For us. That's what this is, because there's so many good bits and good jokes. And like, it is a little bit like rehashy, but now we're in season 6. And it's not like totally the exact same thing. They kind of backdoor it. And to me, it still works. And if I had time, what I was going to do is cut like a montage of like the I Think You Should Leave, Zimp Line, Summer of Love with this mixed in. Just because like it had that feel. Like it was like they had the pool, they had the barbecue, like the single mingle, like. I mean, I still might do it with like highlights of this, but it was, I hate watching reality TV, but I like stuff about reality TV. Like The Soup was one of my favorite things ever, which recapped it. I like making fun of the entity that it is, which they do a really good job of. It was very enjoyable. And let's just dive into the
So real quick, yeah, because I muted for a second. I went to say something. So anyways, but like one of the things I loved about it too was that like Psych never takes itself too seriously, right? And I think they when they're spoofing something, they do a really good job, really good job at it. And so what they're doing here, right? Again, they did it with American Duos, they're doing it again here, but slightly different premise with the Bachelorette style show. But I love how they just sort of go all in on it. And I love that Gus is like, he thinks he knows.
Oh, he studies it.
Right? He's how the game
is. The docudramas of our time, Doc.
Right? But he doesn't. And it takes Wayne Brady to be like, brother, this is you want to win? This is how you got to do it.
Safe man. the good job with the shirt tucked in. Right.
So, really quick.
I gotta cut you off here because I don't know when we'll get to it because like I don't want to forget it, but like the inside subtle joke references that you only get by being a super fan of the show like we are, there's a moment right before they go to the single mingle where they're like going through like the food or whatever or walking around looking around. Sean says on the inside, and Gus slowly quietly just goes on the inside, that they've done a few times, and that to me is just like a little tiny bit of like sprinkling things on for like the super fans. And then Melinda is the name of the girl, like the main attraction, like the star of the show, the whatever it is, Paths of Love.
Yeah.
And Gus is lathering himself up.
Yeah.
And in the episode where they move into the loft, like the black and tan, it's Berlinda. And he does the same thing with lavender. So it's just like that little shine. Yeah. It's just that little tiny, like, connective tissue that they throw in there. That's just like a delight.
Right. And we get another bud from the Cosby Show reference. Right. So we'll know when we get to it. I actually didn't write down any memorable moments. We'll just kind of hammer them as we go because there's a lot of them here. And speaking of Melinda, we'll talk about her more in a moment, but director writer, we have Timothy Busfield. So the name might not sound familiar, but if you saw this guy's face, you know exactly who he is. He's a known actor. He was in West Wing, Revenge of the Nerds, Field of Dreams, only episode he ever directed. So not a huge work there.
Great job though.
He did a fantastic job. And of course it was written by Steve Franks and Andy Berman.
Classic.
And we have a couple of standout guest stars. We have Lindsay Sloan, who plays Melinda, who you wrote down loved her great acting. She played it straight, like Sir Michael Caine.
I think I probably wrote Michael Caine because I'm an idiot.
Like she kind of drove me nuts though at sometimes.
Oh, I loved her. There's a person who drove me nuts. We'll get to him.
Cute as a button, but kind of drove me nuts.
She's in a ton of stuff. Yeah. I thought she nailed it. She played it super straight. Like there was no like pretense. She was in the moment. She was on the show. Like I thought she was like her acting was exactly what you needed. And like it never broke. She was like perfect the whole time.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that. She played the part perfectly. Mm-hmm. I guess my picadillos aren't with her. It's just her character that she's playing. There was just that's just, again, they're nitpicks that, like, because I wrote down worst memorable moments. I wrote Melinda. But that's only because, like, there was some choices that she, or some things that she did that was just like, it's like, if I was, like, here's the thing. This is how good she is at it. Like, if this, like, I'm watching this as if it were, say, The Bachelorette or whatever. And I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you pick it? Like, it was that kind of stuff. So that's
when she goes, like, when the Miz flips out and she goes, you know, you shouldn't pick him, but, you know, it just showed me he was really passionate. And then I heard my mom's voice, like, her, like, she crushed crushed.
She delivered it perfectly as an actress. She delivered it. It was more just the character itself. Yeah. But we had the Miz, you just mentioned, who played Mario, who was perfect for this role. He was fucking excellent.
Also, his eyes are so blue. I never realized how blue it. Like, you don't get that extreme close up on wrestling usually.
They are sterling blue.
No wonder why he's landed, right? Maurice.
Oh.
The hottest 40-year-old besides me.
That's right. And then Wayne Brady, who plays Hilton Fox, he's sort of the show's
host.
You know, host. Yes, the hostess with the mostest. So there is no flashback scene. We are right into it. We are right on the set of Paths of Love, which is a Bachelorette-style show. And the show starts off in a bit of chaos. Or panic, if you will, because the main attraction outside of the Bachelorette, Melinda, is Todd, right? Where's Todd? And I love this, and all the panic, you know, was it Wayne Brady that said this? Or one of the other guys who said, oh yeah, he goes, take one white guy, put him in a suit, and put him in line with the rest of the other Backstreet Boys, and boom, you have a date.
It's unlike, he is so good. Yeah. I love Wayne Brady. And when he plays like a character you're not expecting, like obviously like the I'm Wayne Brady bitch from Chappelle Show, that's like the ultimate. But even in this, like he plays, you know, the host while we're on. And then when he's off, he's like, all right, come here. I got to tell you something. Like he tells Gus to pretend that his fiance died in like a tragic whatever. But he's really good. They set the scene. Todd's missing and they cut directly crash cut to Todd, blah, blah, blah. Car accident, you know, tragedy, avoidable, but no murder.
Right.
And that sets you up at the police station with Lassie.
Yeah. So that you see a car accident, boom, it's Todd. We're at the plate, you know, we're at the station. So, you know, Lassie and everyone there doesn't realize that the victim in this car accident is quote unquote famous or anyone of importance. It just looks like a, you know, a car accident. And so he's talking about there's a car accident, it was a yellow truck. The person that is deceased is known as Todd, and Lassie thinks it's just a regular accident, but there's the guy in you know, the background who's just like, wait a second, that sounds familiar. And Sean's sort of looking at the crime scene photos, or are they at the actual crime scene? I can't remember.
No, they're looking at the photos.
Yeah, and Sean's looking at it, and he's like, I don't think this is an accident. This looks a little suspicious. And you see, I can tell by the salad dressing, by the tire marks. Gus goes, that's brake fluid. And I just love the fact that he referred to it as salad dressing.
And they do it again.
Right. And so the director, like I said, the director of the show is there. He goes, I don't think this was an accident either. That's the star of our show. I think something is off here. So he offers to bring Sean and Gus to the set of Paths of Love to give them sort of a closer look at everything to see if they can ascertain if this was just a mere accident or something more nefarious.
Yes. And then they go there. That's when we get the great Punk My Mom, Girl of the Bear. So you think you can dance. Don't touch that. It's infected. Like that.
That's the best part.
That little bag. No, the best part is Melinda's face is on top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. But I love the don't touch that. That's infected.
It's so good.
Oh, like, and when they talk about the girl and the bear later on in the episode, he goes, yeah, I've heard of that one. We tested
it
out.
The Japanese tried it. Too many people died. So the director isn't bad. He's a pretty good actor. He's been in a lot of things. He might have even been in another, like, either USA show or, like, somewhere in a psych show buried. Because I remember him, like, in this realm. He's okay. Yeah. When we get to the producer or whatever he is, like, the real big cheese, I fucking hate that guy.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We get them coming out. They bring him in. And we're starting to go over the footage of the show, which is where we kind of get Sean and Gus to go on the inside. And they're going through the footage of, you know, Todd playing to the camera, but he's actually not playing to the camera. He's very nervous. He's had a lot of near-death experiences on the set as it is, almost getting like killed in a hot tub, a railing almost falling over on a balcony, those kind of things. So there is some kind of credence, even though they make reference to what you need as a contractor, but you can tell this guy's actually scared for his life, and he should have been.
Yeah. So, you know,
we get the conjugal midwife.
Man versus Pneumonia.
That one's fucking great. Like, it's so good.
Hilarious. So, like, we get all of that, right? So, like, they're able to convince the director to find a way to get him on the show. So he gets him on as contestants, right? Because they don't want to draw suspicion to the producer that they're quote-unquote detectives, even if they're just psychic detectives. And so they're on the set, and right off the bat, of course, Sean has a connection with Melinda. And I love his cover here. He's a heart surgeon and sometimes brain surgeon. May have run into her at the hospital while she was having her appendix removed. And he's also the inventor of the hamburger candle.
The so, way like, he delivers the hamburger candle line, yes, is fucking unbelievable. Because he's sitting there, he goes over his accomplishments, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, but I'm also the inventor of the hamburger candle. Like, that line delivery kills me. It's so good.
And it's so on brand for Sean. And so, you know, I don't know if we mentioned this, but the premise of Paths of Love is that all the contestants on this show would have at some point during Melinda's life crossed paths with her, mm-hmm, and that she wouldn't necessarily have known. So like, and someone who was in an English class or someone who would walk by her every day at a coffee shop or shit like that.
Todd was the best one, though, because he was a model on a billboard outside of where she worked.
Yes, right. So shit like that. That's why she's always like just drawn to his abs, right?
No. That's the other guy.
Oh, yes.
That guy is phenomenal.
He's great.
Hilarious. I Little forget lines. What his name is. No, yeah. He has a couple of lines when they try to kill him.
Well, yeah, but that's a brief, right? Like he's just gonna look good, right?
Like, he's fucking hysterical when he's
wait, they're murdering contestants?
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
All he packed was a Speedos and flaxseed parts. Yeah. Same for 2 weeks.
Sean, instant connection. Gus, zero connection. He comes off very creepy. He talks about being a pharmaceutical salesman, which I think was hilarious. And then he mentions he was once married, but it was annulled. So they're just using Gus's character as his character, right?
Unbelievable.
You know, on the show, which I thought was actually kind of brilliant, right? Because Sean's always coming up with these wild nicknames for him and backstories and all this shit. And when they have a chance to actually do something like kind of crazy, wild, and fun, they go, no, you're going to be a pharmaceutical salesman. You were once married and had an annulment. So I thought that was great. And as you mentioned, the producer, he's a fucking nutbag. This was the guy, he was in the show Heroes, right?
Yeah, he was the pilot and Lost in the first episode.
Yeah.
And like, I never thought I minded him, but rewatching this, he is terrible in this episode as an actor. Brutal, he's Lindsay Lycan level bad. But at least she's beautiful and she's good in other things. I don't like this guy in most things that he's in. And he's too big. He's too over the top. I get that's a little bit of the character, but he doesn't play it very well. No. I really didn't like him, but I will say the two things. We'll get to one. I see you have it in the notes. I don't see the other one in the notes, but when Sean goes... I like to try to break the tension when Melinda points out that Todd isn't there again and she wants to give him the thing. wait a second. You could be looking for America's Next Runaway reality smash show about the crabbing industry called Wait For It. No, you wait for it. America's Got Crabs.
Yes, yes.
That's fucking unbelievable. Like the way he like the wait for it and then he looks right at Gus. No, you wait for it. Yeah. America's Got Crabs. Kills me. Fucking kills me.
So good. So good. But yeah, I agree with you. That actor stinks. He's not my cup of tea. And he was actually wildly annoying. I should actually swap him and Melinda in worst things of the episode. Because yeah, it's brutal. But he did say this. He's like, birth this from my loins. And he said, I won't screw your loins. You know, like I just
he like debates it too. He's like, no, yeah, you know what? No, I'm not gonna.
Yeah. So right off the bat, he keeps like bragging, you know, that, you know, he has sold the rights of Paths of Love to NBC. And he's like, so he's a star fucker, you know, and he's trying to brag and be something, you know, pretend that he's something that he's not. And it's funny because he can't name any other NBC show than Friends, which I thought was actually kind of funny. Oh, I run already. I wait for it. No, you wait for it. America has crabs. That's brilliant. And you and I are going to talk about that later over a baked potato.
I think he waits for it too. He like pauses and he's like, over a big baked potato.
Yeah.
Like that actually was a good line delivery. That's the only thing he has, like, but that's a good line.
Right. And I love the fact that it's a baked potato.
Yeah,
like, of all things.
Over a big baked potato.
Right. I wrote down, I'm not sure why Sean. Oh, so like this was another little picadillo, right? Because we're 6 seasons into the show. Jules knows the gig by now. She knows Sean by now. She knows he has a penchant, right, for getting on the inside, right? And being over the top. And so like he's got to lie to Jules about being on the show. Like I thought, like, A, he should just tell her. And I got a little annoyed with her jealousy because, like, she should know by now. Like, Sean's not going to, A, do anything, and he's there to solve a case. But I kind of get it. There were times.
He's trying to win. At times, he's trying to win.
That is true. But I love the relationship that develops between Gus, and Hilton Fox. And I love Gus giving Sean the reality show dating advice because it's so fucking wrong. And this is what you said earlier. Like, look, homie, I like you. That's why I want to help you out. So just drop the front, the whole safe brother with the boring job and the shirt tucked into your pants. That's so 90s Huxtable.
Unbelievable. Right? Like, perfect. What line delivery? He's crushing it.
Perfect. And then what I love next, this is another one of my favorite moments. Like basically my favorite moments are anytime they're on set. Because it's gold, Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
Gold. Right, gold, Jerry. And so Sean is he's trying to throw the date, which is hilarious because, like, he's just trying to get information. And he goes, I like your hair. It's mostly fake. Oh, she says this to Sean. She goes, I like your hair. He goes, it's mostly fake. Transplanted from my thigh. And then he goes, kids bug me. I find them disgusting. They have sticky fingers and their voices are high. I'll tell you this right now, being a father of a young child, kids eating ice cream is one of the most anxiety-inducing things ever. Because I hate stickiness. And they eat ice cream so fucking slowly. And it gets all over their face and their hands and it's dripping. And it makes a fucking, it's gross. Kids in general are gross. But like the stickiness, he's right on that one. Don't much care for it. but then,
I would assume that was written by a guy who actually had kids.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But for some reason, this makes Melinda want him more, right?
Well, I will tell you, Doc, as a current dater, the less attention I pay, the more mean I am, or the more I forget to text a woman, the better I do.
This is why I can't go back out there, Billy. I need to either die or, for Megan to just like continue to blindly stay loyal to me. I cannot date again. I can't do this. I can't be swiping. I can't be I can't. I'm too old for the shit.
When I'm the busiest, it's when I do the best because I can just ignore him. And that's what I'm like. Why aren't you paying attention to me? So be mean.
Be mean. I don't have a mean bone in my fucking body, Billy.
See? Neither do I. I have to like purposely do it.
And this is dating tips from the Pineapple Boys. But I love where Melinda says Gus reminds her of Bud from the Cosby Show, right? It's 2 Cosby Show references in this episode. So there was a point in time, right, where I really believed that he was Bud from the Cosby Show. But Lassie shares that Todd's truck was tampered with because they're on set. Jules is a little bit jealous. And then this is where we get introduced to the Miz.
Real quick.
Brilliance.
It is pure brilliance. But the scene where they're like, you don't know me, and I'm very, very single. Then like the PA comes out and is like, doctor, you can't just run off like that. You're wanted at the pool for the single mingle. He runs away. And then Jules goes, doctor? And then Lassie is pretty good in this episode, like sparingly when he's in there. It's just like single mingle. Like that's like a nice little like addition to the, like, I don't know what they call it, like technically like a capper to the scene, but that is such a great capper of like, a tiny little scene where he just runs out to talk to them, and then that little bit of comedy, and then it's like re-hit real quick with her going, "Doctor?" And then Les going, "Single?" Like, perfect. Perfect comedy.
Yeah, Lassie's good. His subtlety sometimes is just absolutely off the chart. So I love this. So fucking Miz goes, "If I don't get a heart necklace because of that guy, I'm unleashing the guns, Frederico and Pepe." Boom, boom. The greatest two names for arms ever.
I wanted to know, like, usually it's like a Hall and Oates or something. Like,
right.
I don't know, but Federico and Pepe or Bebe?
Yeah, Pepe. Yeah,
Pepe. Like that. Like, I got to figure out if that's like a thing, because that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just the best. And this is, I mean, this happened probably early on in Miz's career.
Right? No, I would say he was a pretty established wrestler at this point, because this is probably like 2010.
Was it that late? 2009, I want to say.
Let's look it up right here.
I'm not completely familiar with when Miz debuted and when
2012 was this episode. Miz has been around for quite some time.
Right. So yeah, so he's starting to enter his prime, right?
Yeah, I would say this is like the, so he started in 2001. Let me see what his first
title reign was. Oh, geez, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's been around yeah, he was already world champion.
So he was already making Marine videos at this point, Marine movies.
Yeah, so he was, yeah, he's been WWE main roster since like 2006.
Gotcha. Okay, so he was right in the prime.
This was like on his like full, like, this was when I still hated him. Yeah, at one point he became my favorite wrestler. That was probably like 2016. But like right now he's like hateable Miz, but like a very big star. So this was kind of like, this was like, what was the thing? USA, we have characters. Like, was like in that era.
Yeah. So he instantly becomes Sean's suspect numero uno, right?
Suspecto numero uno.
Right.
Don't say that. Numero
uno. So now we're in Snoop mode. So they go into the bedroom where everyone shares a room. And Jackal down.
I'm okay. But you see, he hit the Jackal switch and like you got the head banging in.
And then bang. And so Guts finds a pair of greasy gloves, which is not great.
Just like I suspected. Yeah, Andy dressing.
That's right. Andy forgotten brake lines. And then the gloves were found in Danny's bed. So Danny is, we haven't really met Danny too much.
Danny's the geeky guy. I think we see him for a second.
Yeah, hot second. We're not really introduced to Danny yet, but this is what's going to then propel him from being, suspect.
He's Zipline.
Yeah, he is Zipline. I can just picture him right in that outfit, Zipline. He looks just like, so now we get into the film room. And so they're looking. So this is where, you know, they do a lot of the editing, and so they see Danny putting gloves in his cubby. So okay, boom, Danny's the guy. So
two quick things about that video: we got the hot guy working out, and I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, do you see this shit? Like, I do like a thumbs up. Like, the balloons just went by, and you didn't.
Yeah, what's going on? I was gonna say that earlier because there was.
I thought it was just a Zoom thing. But like, maybe it's not.
Is
like know.
Someone like liking our shit, maybe, and that's how it's popping up.
It's just in my window. I've done this on Zoom by accident. I forget where. Oh, so they're doing like the review of the footage, and you get the classic like, "Well, what if he's invisible? Is there any point where you just see a pair of glasses like, walking by?" He doesn't even wear glasses. It's just funny. But the hot guy's working out, and you know he's doing the bench press. And as a person who goes to a gym, he's doing like 95 pounds. He's doing the bar plus like 10s or something. Like, he's doing like 65 pounds. And then he picks up some like weights and curls them. But I just thought, like, slap a couple of 45s on there for him.
Throw, even make him dummy 45s for fuck's sake.
Yeah, who cares?
Even I can do two 45s on each side. Come on. Like, come on. Right? Yeah. Gas the guy up a little bit, you know? So the police, we're at the station. Danny's in the interrogation room. The great thing is that he thinks this is all just shtick. He thinks it's part of the show.
He's pretty good. And, I don't mind.
And then it becomes real. Lassie and Jules really start asking him very serious, pertinent questions He's like, you know, listen, I know her from college. We took the same, you know, English class together. So now Lassie's insinuating that Danny is stalking Melinda. And so as he's being let go, him and Sean cross paths. And it's like, oh, shit, is Sean's cover going to be blown here? But he plays it off like, oh, yeah, they're interviewing everyone, right, kind of thing. So, you know, Sean has to find a way now to keep Danny on the show so they can get closer to him and try and get more dirt on him, right, to try and get a confession out of him. Because if he gets kicked off, then that, you know, that's kind of the end of that. So we're back on the set. Melinda keeps Gus. And I did love this from her. This was a great delivery because she's like, you know, she's like, just kind of feel bad for him, you know, like Wayne Brady's, you know, tips are paying off. So she keeps Gus, which is a great shock to everyone. But then she goes to keep Mario instead of Danny. And what's great here is that when they were back in the bedroom scene snooping around, Sean had found a picture of some blonde broad. Counter, put it up in Mario's locker. So Sean thinks very quickly on his feet and says, someone here is not being truthful.
He pulls I think you should leave, and he goes, I believe, what is it, Mario is a hoe?
Yeah. So side note, that's my favorite part of the sketch, not because the zip lining is great, but he's just got like this whimpery face and he goes, Carlos is a hoe.
Oh, Carlos. Yeah. Somebody also has a face like I said, you have a face like a clock. Oh, and real quick, like, I don't know when we'll get to bring this up again, but when Miz is giving them the business and is like, if you any of you aren't here for like real reasons, I'm going to find out. He calls them all PUDs, which yes. is a great fucking thing.
PUD like, is a great word.
It's like it's PUD and squid, like yes. underutilized.
Like we go, oh, he's such a PUD. Felger does that sometimes. Mm-hmm. He calls someone put. He calls people
playing with your PUD.
Yeah, it's such an old man word too, right?
Any of these PUDs?
Absolutely fantastic. So this is where Sean exposes him for having a girlfriend. You know, blonde hair, dirty blonde hair. Likes to ride hogs. And he goes bros before hoes, and then he fucking takes them all to Suplex City.
He does, but he also like accuses him and Gus. He's like, "Why is he looking at me? Why is he looking at me?" Yeah.
Which is absolutely great. So that shit killed me. So Danny gets saved. Danny's getting work. He's working on the grill because he's the grill man. Uh-huh. He's the fun guy, right? And as he's working on the grill, Sean spots the gas line has been tampered with. And so Sean runs and gets Danny out of the way as the grill, you know, is blowing up. So now he's
supposed to let him get the patties on the grill.
Yes. So we can rule Danny out now, because why would Danny try and kill himself?
Uh-huh.
Right. That doesn't make much sense. So what we also see is in the background is sort of Danny and Sean are being tended to. We see Melinda and the producer guy getting a little close there. Yep. And so now, okay, maybe we sort of shift our suspect to, you know, the producer. And so Lassie shows up as Danny, you know, is sort of being tended to. And he goes, listen up, 15 minuters, which I love. It's like when he walked into the barn and the tower guy's like, listen up, hippies, right? Or you dirty hippies. He goes, a very handsome man is in a coma. Someone is trying to kill you guys, and we're going to find out who. And this is where the guy goes, somebody is trying to kill us, and he is gone. Next thing you know, you see him with his wheelie backpack, shirtless, getting into a limo. Right?
He's the man. I fucking love that guy.
Which is absolutely fantastic. So, and he goes, Melinda is a great girl, and she looks great naked, but she's not worth dying over.
When did he see her naked?
Bingo. Right? Probably pretty good, right? And then we get Sean. Gus, and he's got that look on. He's greasing up his head. Melinda likes her men to shine, right? And so Sean is on a one-on-one dinner with Melinda. Gus cuts in. This is a tacos burritos conversation, nachos.
This is a good little back and forth.
And then, you know, Gus and Sean just beating the bag out of each other, and they both bomb. And Sean's interrogating Melinda pretty aggressively here. And Sean accuses her of sleeping with the producer. She admits she was just getting romance tips from him to help sell it to the camera. And this is where we learn the producer, whose name is Jay, has the show insured through the fucking roof. So ding, 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 ding. We're getting some red flags here. And we have a new suspecto numero uno.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You break the roof, Jay, get your new roof. That's one of those little tidbits you get dropped there. They interrogate him. Again, he's just not good. Like, he's not a good actor. So it was kind of lackluster, his interrogation. So they do get the text from Sean that kind of tips them off to maybe he is sabotaging the show on purpose, even though it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And in the end, it really doesn't, because he's just stealing the show. But it's not terrible, but it's a good setup to kind of give you the red herring.
Well, and what's great here too is that, you know, he's again with this bravado of, you know, well, I'm selling the show to NBC. And Lassie goes, well, really? Because I got a guy that works over at NBC and, you know, I'll give him a call and see what's going on. So he calls his wife. And this is where the guy admits, he goes, all right, I haven't sold it to NBC. Right. And so we get to Melinda's final heart. We're back on the show. And she goes, Sean, you're a very odd person. One minute you're witty, sarcastic, and smart. The next, you're like a six-year-old looking for a popsicle.
We don't have any popsicles. Right? I checked. I see what you mean.
Which is right. So on brand. And then
when his like delivery of that though, when he's like, right, I don't have any popsicles. Like he's fucking on point.
It feels genuine.
Ah.
Like in that moment, James Roday just wants a fucking popsicle, and I don't blame him.
So real quick aside, we get to like ask when we go to Super Bowl for guests.
Yeah.
I've asked for James Roday. Why not?
I hope you get it. Billy, I want nothing more in this fuck world for James Roday, you know.
Maybe he's promoting something. Maybe he'll be there. Get him on set.
Yeah,
he's probably. I think he's a Chargers fan.
Maybe they'll. It's going to be in LA, right?
Yeah, they're probably not making the playoffs. but
But when the Super Bowl's in LA, right? Maybe
Vegas,
you get them there.
Vegas.
Oh, Vegas, and then LA.
It's a short drive. I've asked for basically all the people that like I just want to like interview, like random. Yeah. Like I
don't
give a fuck.
Yeah.
I can make a case.
He's not asking for Paige Spiridak. No, he's asking for James Roday.
Yeah, fuck it.
Love it. But this is where she looks to Gus and she goes, Gus, you're okay. You're an okay guy. You know, see you, Gus. He's like, you know, Bert and Guster, you're not going to cry in this limo. Not today.
That's great. And then he cries.
So now we're back at the station. And so one of the things I love about this episode is the twists and turns. So we're back at the station and boom, we get the reveal. We think, you know, it's right. Everything's adding up. We're not used to Psych giving us a double reveal. We're used to red herrings, but not to this degree. And so we're at the station. We get the reveal who Jay, he never sold the show to NBC. He just needed to get his money back via sabotaging the show, which makes sense. It's plausible and fits with everything they had been building up to that point. You know, in the episode. Mm-hmm. And so we're back on set. Sean proves to Jules that he was a gentleman because I'm not a doctor. And she goes, I kind of figured that out when you said you went to John Hoskins University.
Yeah. That also, he also at one point dropped pulmonary man.
Right. He goes, I have a girlfriend. Things are going really well. We flip it when the lights get off. Two, three, four
times a week.
Sometimes five, depending on the caseload. And the look on Jules' face here is priceless. And he tells Melinda that Danny is her real true love. Danny was the one who was writing her these creepy ass anonymous love poems.
Is the only muscle, or the heart is the only muscle in the body. Like, whatever. It was stupid.
It was lame as shit. And she bought it hook, line, and sinker. So now those two are going to go, you know, right off into the sunset and, you know, be happily ever married. And you wrote jump cut? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Oh, I wrote jump cut. So
yeah, I was just saying, I read it. That is a very me thing to write, though, because a jump cut for an editor is a big deal. Whether you're doing it intentionally or unintentionally, that is a mistake or a good editorial choice.
So what they're doing here is after, you know, Sean sets them up, they're back in the film room because they want to look at the footage sort of one last time, you know.
Real quick, by the way, the fact that he backed it up on that many sources, 100% accurate, you would do that if you're shooting a show. Two, if you're reviewing footage to get to the bottom of a crime, I wouldn't show anybody fucking edited footage. Yes. So that is a bit of a plot hole, especially for a bunch of fucking writers to not catch, but whatever.
Whatever. Right. Sometimes, you got to make the shoe fit somehow, Billy. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at the footage and they notice there's a jump cut. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I said that is like, oh, this is a technical thing that Billy came across because, you know, peek behind the curtain, get the counter up. As I am constantly asking Billy for editing advice because I am an Adobe Photoshop noob and Billy is a fucking wizard. And I've learned a lot from him. So I'm always, he's always giving me this information. And I go, I don't speak Spanish, Billy.
Might as well be speaking Australian.
Right. But anyway, so they notice that there's missing pieces of footage. And like all of a sudden something's there and then something's not. And then what we get is, okay, there's actually a real actual culprit. The initial reveal was a fake out. Not in the sense that like he wasn't doing shady shit to, you know, sabotage and get insurance money. That was absolutely happening. But the real culprit, the real person that was trying to kill members of this show was the cameraman. Mm-hmm. And so what happens now is, you know, Danny and Melinda, they're going to go jump out of an airplane for some dumb reason. Because I think anyone that jumps out of an airplane is a fucking idiot. If you have, mm-hmm. right? I apologize, but
real quick aside, that's also everybody on the dating scene either goes skydiving, like that's one of the things, or everybody, every girl, for some reason, like 90% of them, go rock climbing.
Okay. I've seen enough Dateline to know if, like, you do one of those things, one of you two is ending up dead.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm pretty sure, you know, Orville and Wilbur Wright, when they were like, hey, let's take this thing and fly it, weren't like, hey, you know what would be fucking cool? Let's jump out of it. Right? No, don't go jumping out of a plane, you fucking morons. Public service announcement from Doc to you. You know, you keep your feet planted firmly on the ground. But they're going skydiving for some dumb reason. So they got to rush the airfield. Nice dramatic scene here where they're trying to stop the plane in time because they don't want to take off because guess what? There's only undies in the parachutes.
That's a nice little touch. Also, a slight no chance it's happening. A plane before it takes off goes probably 200 miles an hour.
Yeah. But, you know, in dramatic effect, William, you know, you got to, sometimes you got to suspend disbelief.
It's also great. Like, it's not as good as when they're running alongside of the train.
Yeah.
Mary Lightly then catches up with them.
He's wearing ankle weights.
Totally reinvigorated Ryan Reynolds' career.
So they stop the plane. They find out that there's nothing but the whites, the dirty undies in the parachute bags.
Tell me I'm holding some other guy's draws.
And this is where the cameraman finally admits. He goes, the idea of Past the Loves was my idea. I think it was called, Passing Ships. But Jay stole it so that he could try and sell it to NBC. And so he was going to sabotage the show because he didn't like the idea of someone, stealing his shit and selling it. But unbeknownst to him, he didn't know that Jay was full of shit and never had it sold to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a really great, the whole Jay thing. It was great motive. And I thought that the double reveal was great because, like, you could have ended the episode, you know, where they ended it with, you know, Danny and Melinda going off in the sunset and okay.
It would have been as nefarious now.
But no, you would have walked away with that saying, okay, great comedy.
Real crime.
Story was lacking.
Yeah.
Right. And then this just gave it that little extra juice that makes you go, okay, that went from a good episode to a great episode.
Yeah. Things that make you go,
That's right. And so then we get our end scene with the Path of Love, Paths of Love reunion show. I love making love on TV.
This is so good. But like, even when they're like, guys, who left the cover off this ice cream?
Yes,
it has freezer burn.
Like, yes, yes.
It's fucking brilliant. But nothing, honestly, like my favorite moment from the season. Now we got Whip Chatterley coming up soon, but like the fucking, like the Melinda's face
on top of
is on top of her neck. Like that's up there with the Jules, your facial features.
Yeah,
all the right place. Like that is right. A fucking like if I ever write a romantic song for a woman, hopefully one. Yeah. It is Blank's neck is under her hair and on top of her neck.
You're right. I love that Melinda thought Sean and Gus were gay.
Yes.
Right, which was great. And then you get Henry goes, I wouldn't vote for him. And then who says, I don't want any lemonade? Was that Henry too? He goes, I don't want any lemonade.
I forget.
But that cracked me up. But then, like, they throw it up there. Todd, right? Todd makes his comeback. And so Melinda starts staring at him longingly. And so, dipshit there has to kind of go, yeah, she's with me. I'm like, no, let her go be with Todd and be happy.
And then Todd gives her the eyes. Todd gives Juliet the eyes.
Oh, yeah, fucking scumbag. No one gives Juliet the eyes.
Right? Well, my thing is a little bit with this, all of this, because you know that, like, Sean and Jules in real life at one point were married and then are broken up. I'm going to venture and guess, like, this is the point when they're broken up and still on the show, but I can't tell. But, like, the next episode I watched a couple of times because it just kind of, like, ran through over the last few weeks because we've been off for a little bit. I think there's probably, like, the next episode, not one of my favorites, and they're a little bit, like, weird together in that episode.
Yeah. But they finish strong, right? They figured out work together very well. But I think this is probably a point in the time where, like, I don't know if they're either still together or breaking up or whatnot. But with that said, Billy, let's move this puppy along to the next segment of the program.
I'll keep tonight. You're red hot.
Fucking love it every time. So as I mentioned before, I mean, just pretty much anytime they're on the reality TV.
Unbelievable.
Scene, right. Miz is great. Sean's great.
That's cheating, right? Even Jules like chiming in.
Yeah, right. Everything about it. It was a really good, Wayne Brady was great. All of it. Just fantastic.
Wayne Brady is like a very underrated cameo because he's a decent sized get. And he's really good in this episode, but there's so many other things happening that like everyone else kind of sticks out more.
Yeah. He was definitely great. Least memorable moments, Jay.
Jay stinks. I didn't like him. The director wasn't that great either. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but he wasn't like bad. I think he just, his role
was fine. Right. Yeah. He was fine. He wasn't in it a ton. I'm glad that he wasn't in on whatever was going on. Which was good. I thought that was a good just way to do it. So not like everyone had, some like their own sort of ulterior motive kind of thing. So I initially had this at a 6.5. I bumped it up to a 6.8.
So I'll join you because I can't give it less than you because you didn't like it as much as me. I really enjoyed this episode. I would say it's one of the more pleasant surprises upon rewatch. I don't want to say the conclusion kind of stunk because I think they stick the landing with a recap, but like the reveal isn't amazing. It isn't like, I think if the reveal was,
if they just had the one reveal, this would have been a 6.5 for sure.
Yeah. Like it didn't stumble to the finish because it finished really strong with like the goofy ending, but like the real ending was good. Not great.
Yeah, it was fine, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm like, it's not quite a 7. It's just a tick below a 7, right? And that puts it, that should put it right in the front end of the meaty part of the curve, as we like to say here on the program. So I think 6.8 is a good score. So then let's really wrap this puppy up and take her home.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the creamsicle. So I'm going to stall for a second as I hit.
Boom, boom, boom. Muffins.
Stalling. I didn't get any pineapple references. Really, we got Lawrence Tate is a nickname for Gus.
That was great.
A couple of good obscure references, not a ton, but oddly enough, we got a Ryan Gosling in Blue Valentine reference. Have you ever seen that movie?
No,
dude, heartbreaking.
Really?
That is just an emotionally gut-wrenching movie.
So I'll watch it because
it's brilliantly acted by both Michelle Williams and you'll cry.
Oh, I cried. I cried at like a good episode of Scrubs.
Yeah. So it's depressing as shit. It's gut-wrenching, but I think it should be watched at least once.
I will say Ryan Gosling is running up the ranks of like my, like, not even begrudgingly, but like actors I didn't know I liked.
There's this heartbreaking scene where he is playing a ukulele and singing a song to Michelle Williams. It's just like, oh, fuck, man, Jesus. And just like the character work, the writing, the performance, everything about it. Like, this is a movie, like, I might watch again, but that's it. Like, it's a movie you watch like once or twice and you appreciate it and for all it is, and it's cinematic glory. But that was good. Bob Hoskins, of course, and Tyler Perry. Bert, if you're watching.
Dude,
there's a Tyler Perry reference.
I almost started the show with this instead, with Wayne Brady's hang on, I gotta find it. Hang on 1 second, because it's one of the funniest deliveries. I will be starring in a brand new Tyler Perry sci-fi epic called "I Ain't Getting On No Rocket."
I ain't getting on no rocket.
Like that fucking, like the way he delivers that, "I ain't getting on no rocket," and the Tyler Perry, I immediately thought of Bert. And like it was like his delivery of the "I ain't getting on no rocket" Hall of Fame. This was so fucking
good. That was brilliant. So I a little boner here, Billy. So I put the scores where our favorite characters normally go.
Oh, I know.
right. So I just noticed that. We've given our scores. How about favorite characters? You go first.
Well, you know what we can do, because we haven't played the sounder in a while, because we replaced it with the clip. We'll do this. So I think what I'm gonna do is we're gonna reformat the show just slightly. We're gonna do the process, then we're gonna hit people with the
keep tonight.
You're warm. You're red hot.
Red hot.
Because that's getting us warmed up. And then the Thundercats will still be the Thundercats. Nope, I lied. Where is it? The Hala will now be Thundercats.
Okay.
And then the Creamsicle.
Boom, boom, boom.
Still be the Creamsicle. So we'll flip it up, you know, three times, four times a week, you know, depending
on what you should do. You should see if you can isolate the. We have popsicles? I looked. That should be the creamsicle.
That's it. You know what? I'm going to see if I can do that. I like
that. That should be the creamsicle. Come on, son.
Come on. No, we didn't give our favorite characters.
Oh, I thought, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I got sidetracked there. You go first. Jesus Christ.
So my favorite character, and not even like, there. It was just, it had to be Sean. Sean was like a tour de force. He was amazing. He had so many good moments and lines in this show. Like, obviously, the Melinda's face thing was my favorite. But even, like, the, you know, Punk My Mom, like, he was into this show. And I would love to know, like, obviously, he has fun making the show. You can just feel it. But, like, I want to know, like, what the experience is like.
Right. So, I mean, obviously, I could go Sean, right? Sean was everything about this episode you want to be. I'm just going to go slightly off the beaten path here. Well, Mario, because he fucking cracked me up. I love the Miz. And, you know, was it Fernando and Pepe? And then he just starts, like, that psycho look. He's like, bros before O's. And then he just takes everyone to Suplex City. Like, absolutely epic. Loved it. Like, it just made me laugh.
Greatest Intercontinental champion of all time.
Ooh, so you're talking to a Jericho guy.
The most, but I will say no one did more for the belt.
Okay. I'm a Y2J guy through and through. Always and forever. But I hear what you're saying.
He sandbagged AJ Styles. But we don't want this to be my other podcast. Before it was a screen podcast, a wrestling podcast.
How do you sandbag AJ Styles?
He just had a shitty match with him at WrestleMania. I was really pissed off.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you know what? Okay. If I had to give a runner up, it would be to the hot guy.
he was great. She looks great naked, but not worth dying for. All right. Now we can come watch, son.
Come on, son. Get that out of here with that bowl. Come on.
There it is. What do we got coming up next week, my friend?
We have season 6, episode 13. Let's Doo-Wop again. I watched this today. It's not bad. It's just
It's not great.
It has its moments, but
it's missing Kenan Thompson.
It is missing Kenan Thompson. They replaced, they pulled a major league, and they replaced one of the quarter blacks or whatever they now call themselves. Black Appella or whatever it is. They replaced him with another guy. They pulled a major league two and replaced Wesley Snipes with, I believe, Omar Epps.
Right.
But it's really not like a terrible episode. There's some moments. And we're now at the point in Psych 2 where we get ultimate highs. Like, some of the best episodes for me ever. The ones that I rewatch the most are in like season 6, 7, and 8. But some of the episodes I've only watched twice are in seasons 6, 7, and 8. And this is one of them. But the one after it is one of the episodes I've watched the most.
The most. Yeah.
That's like that's Whip Chatterley, right? Whip Chatterley. I just watched it again today. Probably legitimately plus 30 times I've seen that episode.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. This episode, but like that's the thing. At this point, there's such the slugging so high that like an episode that like if this episode was the fifth episode of the series, you'd love.
Yeah,
but since it's like in the mix of Hall of Fame episodes, you're like, it's good.
Yeah, with Autopsy Turvy, this was last week. I was with a patient, an older gentleman, and he made a fruit reference.
Dried
fruit. And I dropped fruit, and dried fruit are not snacks. And he goes, "Well, what do you mean? They're delicious." I go, "They're not snacks. They're fruit."
I dropped a couple of psych references the other day around a group of people that had no idea, and obviously you just play them off as your own because why not?
Yeah. And what I will say, so that episode has a bevy of characters, right? Because you've got the guy working at the restaurant. You've got French Stewart, of course. You have Kate Mercucci, who has a very distinguished voice, a very distinct face. She's in a lot of things. Does a lot of voiceover work. She's the voice of Louise on Bob's Burgers, right?
And then a lot of voluptuous women.
And what's her name?
The ukulele girl.
A
little tiny girl. The gooey girl.
Who's the fortune teller?
Too, she's hot.
She is gorgeous, and she's been in a lot of different things.
Follow her on Instagram.
Recognize her face. Yeah, oh baby. So, anyways, with that said, Billy, where can the people find us?
Anywhere you would like, but you can find us on all your podcasting platforms, along with all the other members of the Door Shared Universe, which not as together as we once were, but because I listened to the Christmas episode today while doing a little holiday shopping. And I gotta say, our Christmas episode, phenomenal. Go take a look. Check out any of the podcasting platforms, but go to Dork Instagram. I think he posted it. I posted it today. That's a great watch. And if you want any of the other podcasts, like Change My Mind, which is your co-host's other podcast, and your other podcast is TLDR, then PCP. We come out when Scream does stuff, so it's like yearly. And then the Heavy Hitters, Dork and Mac and Goo streamers, they'll stream at some point, I'm sure, again. I think that is it, though.
That is it, baby. So, until next week, William, wait for it!
Leroy Jenkins!
Frank says hi.
Suck it, Davey.